Good afternoon and welcome back. A couple more text messages coming through. Another person says, Australia, we've been asking you, which country do you think ranks number one as far as global real estate transparency is concerned? I found Malaysia. Malaysia ranks number 23 out of 97. Not bad, I should say.
And Zimbabwe? Is it on the list?
Good question. Let me see if I can talk and scan at the same time. I don't see it.
And New Zealand? I guess along with Australia probably would be fairly
Yes, I'm
high.
Looking high, actually, you're right. New Zealand was number 5.
Wow.
And Australia number 3. So that's pretty impressive.
Those are pretty close.
Shall I let you know, you were both right. No, actually, no, you were right.
Uh-huh.
The US.
Did you hear that, Mike?
No, I said you fail US.
Thank you. 1 point to Ludmilla.
Is there a prize?
Yeah. Is it chocolate. an American report?
We are surrounded by chocolate. No,
got
thank
tons
you.
Of chocolate in this studio. Yeah, Smarties all round.
Is it an American report?
Well, it's the Jones Landing Style Report. We can ask Craig when he comes in the studio.
Well, it'll be interesting to find out sort of what the definition of transparency
is. Are you looking for the non-transparency within the report?
No, I'm just looking for detail. I need terms of reference. I need who wrote it. Then I can give a better opinion on whether it's valid or not.
As far as I understand, you do have the credit, who it's been credited to.
Yeah,
and there's a massive global real estate transparency team in London, Chicago, Dubai, Hamburg, Hong Kong, Mexico, Singapore, Paris. So, I mean...
Yeah, no, it's great. It's obviously global. Jones Lang are good.
Accumulated all their information.
And where does the UK rank?
Number 2.
Yeah.
Number 2, okay.
So yours, 1 and 2.
Close enough. Okay.
Not bad, not bad, Mike, not bad. France, number 7. Finland, 8. Sweden, 9. So a lot of European countries. Hong Kong, 11.
Yeah.
How about Singapore?
And Germany was 12. Oh, that's quite interesting.
That surprises me. I would have.
There's a lot less private property owned in Germany, so it's probably not got the momentum to do it.
Right. Ireland, 15. Spain, 16. what did you say?
Singapore.
Sorry, Singapore is
'cause I would expect
13.
It to be pretty high.
Yeah, okay. Relatively high. Not in the top 10, but 13. So there you go. No, I'm still looking for Zimbabwe. I don't think it's on there.
It's A to Z. It's at the end.
Well, no, it's not A to Z. It goes as in numbers. So Nigeria. 96. What would you think country was bottom at 97?
Oh my gosh! Yeah, I would have said Nigeria or some other country in Africa. Maybe it's a bit biased, but
Sudan.
Yeah. Okay,
there
well,
you go.
We'll know not to invest in Sudan.
I don't even know if you could actually. Maybe. I haven't heard about buying properties there.
I don't know either, yeah.
Right, a couple more messages coming through. What options do I have to lower my mortgage rate? HSBC is too high compared with the rest of the world and some UAE banks. It's a good question, that, and it's one that we talked about quite a lot, I believe, a couple of weeks ago when there was a story out saying that a lot of mortgage owners, mortgage people?
Borrowers.
Are locked into their mortgages.
That's right.
Because the banks are sort of offering new rates to new borrowers rather than readjusting the...
Yeah, it's called relationship banking.
Exactly.
Yes,
yeah. We talked a lot about this as well on the Tonight Show last week. There were a number of bank representatives that, you know, were talking about mortgages and refinancing. And so, you know, the hope is that this will, this trend will pick up and start developing, because as of now, at least as far as our experience is concerned, banks are extremely reluctant, if not impossible, to convince to refinance existing borrowers' mortgages.
Yeah.
And we touched upon this at the Tonight Show as well, and this is because a lot of the mortgage contracts are drafted in such a way that there's a very high early repayment rate, something in the order of 7%.
Yep.
And that's obviously one of those sort of reasons that makes it almost prohibitively expensive for borrowers to refinance. But surprising thing about it is that the same banks, these same borrowers, basically could refinance with the same banks who are now offering rates that are often three times less,
to
new borrowers, who have not yet shown the loyalty, if you will, that the existing borrowers have, and that's why sort of the frustration comes from.
One of the problems with this whole system now is that the banks have a marketing arm and a risk arm.
What did you call it?
And the marketing arm is totally out of touch with reality.
What did you call the arm?
The marketing arm.
No, there was
and the risk arm.
There was a terminology that you used last week, the exploding arm or something.
Oh, the exploding arm. No, that's exploding adjustable rate mortgages.
Right.
No, that's an American invention.
Okay.
They just explode on you at some point. In other words, the rate just leaps up
once they've got you in.
Once they've got
you in. Hey, we're ranked number one. Yeah. On the transparency list.
Oh, yeah, no, you should know that you're going to get exploded. It's clear. It's in the documentation. But no, it is a fundamental thing, this, that banks need You know, banks need to get that they're disjointed. They've got a marketing arm that runs out there and sells anything it can, whenever it can, to whoever it can, at any price it can. And then it's got a risk department that's got to mop that all up afterwards. And they don't seem to be talking to each other at the front, because if they did, you'd think that they would offer existing clients a better deal than a new client. Because where's your relationship banking? I see all these adverts all down the Shakeside Road, relationship banking, banking redefined. I see all these adverts, they mean nothing, because there is a new borrower, walks in, don't even know him, meets the criteria, bang, he gets a cheaper rate than someone who's been there 5 years.
Yeah, very much
so. What's it all about?
And that's always interesting for me to hear all the comments from, you know, last week at the Tonight Show from the various bank representatives. And this sort of was across the board, because our experience, we represent a lot of borrowers, you know, who are stuck with just extremely high and prohibitively expensive mortgages and basically at their wits end trying to communicate with the banks to try to, you know, lower their rates or, you know, refinance, you know, or change some sort of terms of repayment. And I will tell you, banks have been, at least from our experience, have been so incredibly reluctant, uninterested and unhelpful in even wanting to have a dialogue. And that's sort of the most frustrating part about it.
Well, they probably haven't got a department that will have that dialogue, because they seem to have all sales and no service.
Right.
If you think about it.
Yeah. And, you know,
what, there isn't actually, sorry, isn't, I suppose, what options do I have to lower my mortgage rate? We're not, I mean, you know, in terms of a straight answer, I suppose.
Just keep talking and just keep talking to the banks. You know, there was also a few weeks ago, there was another story about UAE central bank regulations that gave a lot of borrowers hope, you know, because that story touched upon the UAE central bank regulation that caps the early repayment penalty at 1% or I think, or $10,000 or 10,000 dirhams. Well, that particular regulation actually only applies to personal loans, not and not mortgages, and mortgages are not considered to be personal loans. Mm-hmm. So personal loans are basically, it's personal loans and car loans, and personal loans are, you know, something like credit card loans, you know, I guess a sort of personal, whatever personal loan is, but it does not include mortgages. And that's just, I've been wanting to clarify at that point, because I know a lot of borrowers have been very you know, positive or very sort of excited about this alleged new development, but it is not there. I mean, the hope is that there will be a similar regulation or regulating all the mortgages, capping the early repayment, but today it does not exist.
Right.
So unless your bank voluntarily agrees to do so, then that's just, it's not an option, really.
Well, a lot of people keep texting in about this global transparency document that's just come out from Jones Lang LaSalle. What is the ranking of India and Pakistan? Well, I can't see Pakistan, I must say, but India has got three tiers, and they're 48, 49 and 50, just below the UAE, in fact, just below Dubai, which is quite interesting, I think. So anyway, we'll get Craig when he comes to join us just after 12:30 to explain what the three tiers mean.
It'll be interesting to see how fast we get data out of India as well, because I really do think that's falling now, and I think that it'll be a long time before you actually get information that confirms that.
Another listener said, I am Sudanese and I was shocked to know that we ranked 97 in transparency scale. I believe it should be 100 plus with all corruption and financial scandals our government did in the last 23 years. Well, yes, I mean, we are going to get into that, how this, in fact, scale was.
But they were only
created.
97, weren't they, Shibu?
Yeah, there were only 97 countries ranked. So you are, I mean, Sudan is the last.
You're the last one.
I think he's thinking, you know, obviously it should be much.
But it is interesting why they're only 97 countries.
Yeah.
You know why, for example, Pakistan.
There's the other 100 odd gone.
Yeah. Not sure. Yeah. And we will be back after this.